Welcome to Rosemay Homestead. Today we have a special guest, Gina Mundy, who is an attorney that specializes in childbirth cases. For over two decades, she has analyzed the mistakes that are made during labor and delivery. With all of her experience and knowledge, she decided to write a book called A Parent's Guide to a Safer Childbirth in hopes to help parents prevent these mistakes and have a healthy baby. Rather than merely getting involved after a mistake is made, Gina has taken a proactive approach by getting involved before childbirth. Hey, Gina, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're able to join me today and share your new book that just came out. So please introduce yourself.
Well, thank you for having me today. I'm super excited for our conversation. So I live in Michigan. I'm a mom of three. My kids are a little bit older. They're I have two girls. They're 19, 15. And then I have my nine-year-old son. And I'm also an attorney specializing in childbirth cases. Wow. And just so your audience understands what a childbirth case is, those are cases involving the birth of a baby when something goes wrong and baby's not born healthy, or baby sometimes may pass during childbirth, or mom sometimes doesn't make it through childbirth. As the attorney, I come in, I find out what happened, what went wrong, more importantly, what should have been done. So baby, mm-hmm. Could have been born or been born healthy, or mom, around to raise her baby. And those questions have taken me all over the United States many times, meeting with delivery teams, hashing out every aspect of labor and delivery and whatnot. So these cases take years to go through. And each one is like analyzing the mistake for years on end. So I've done this now for 21 years. And 19 years deep into my profession, I decided to write a book to expecting parents to help them avoid these complications and mistakes, that I've seen now for 21 years in order to have a healthy baby. So that's probably a good sum.
Really amazing.
A bunch more I could say, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Oh man, that is, I didn't even know that this was a specialized area and that it was so common, because you don't hear a lot about this stuff. It's not broadcasted on the news. You have to like know someone who's personally gone through some of this stuff. Yeah.
That, it's interesting that you say that, because most people who eventually have to meet me professionally, meaning the families in the cases and whatnot, they don't know our profession even exists. And same thing, when I got my first job out of law school, it was this field. Now, listen, I was just looking for a first job. I didn't even know it existed. However, I had just gotten married, so having a baby was on my radar. Mm-hmm. So when I was hired in, I was also hired in to a team of over 20 people, and this is all they did. Wow. So I wanted to make sure, I wanted to stay with this job for a while to make sure what I was seeing in these cases didn't happen during the birth of my babies.
Yeah. I would have been really interested and probably got maybe a little shocked with the things that you probably found out or learned about.
It can be concerning. However, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting involved in the aftermath of something going wrong, I'm trying to get involved beforehand, because the main reason is because there are reoccurring issues. There are reoccurring facts. And if parents have an understanding of what these are, mm-hmm. It'll give them a heightened sense of awareness. It'll help activate their intuition. So then they can make those good decisions with the delivery team. Yeah. Because in the cases, I'm telling you, the families are one decision or minutes from a healthy baby.
Yeah. So what do parents need to know to have a healthy baby?
No, big question. Just come out right there swinging. I like it. No, because that's why I'm here. And so let me tell you a little bit about how my book is structured, because this will help with the flow of the podcast and the lessons. So chapter one of my book are all of the lessons from the baby cases. And this is important, because as a lesson, we're learning from it to prevent it from happening in the future. Then each lesson is a subsequent chapter in the book, where basically I'm like, okay, here's the lesson, but I don't just walk away. I'm like, here's a whole chapter on what you need to know to have a healthy baby. So lesson number one, by far the most important lesson. And I always go back to this lesson, even when I'm talking about other lessons in the cases. It's learning about childbirth in order to help you make those good decisions. Mm-hmm. As the mom in the labor and delivery at the hospital, you are the decision maker. Your delivery team, they're like your medical advisors. Yeah. So even if a doctor is talking to you in a certain way or whatnot, keep in mind, those are always, you know, recommendations. So it's really,
they don't make you feel that way.
I know. I keep hearing that. That's why I just said it like that. Cause I'm like, oh, cause that's what everybody tells me.
Yeah.
You know, it's different because, you know, I'm 48 years old now. I've had my three kids. I've done this for 20. This is my field now for 21 years. So yeah. I know when a doctor is talking to me about anything, even in other parts of my life, I'm like, these are recommendations, you know, or whatnot, but that, I get this a lot. But no, it's having an understanding of childbirth. Mm-hmm. And what that does too, is it helps you have like more of a streamlined communication with your delivery team.
Yeah.
That way, you know, you're not walking in and hoping for the best. Because, you know, the families in these cases, I mean, listen, we're all guilty of this. You don't even want to put families in the cases.
Yeah.
You only think that bad things happen to other people. And that leaves you in a very vulnerable state. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times what happens is, you know, they roll up to labor and delivery and they just rely on their delivery team. And then all of a sudden, you know, things may not go as planned. And they now have to make some big decisions and all of a sudden things go wrong. I can tell you from talking to the families after the birth of their baby, they know so much more in the aftermath of something going wrong that if they would have known a lot of this beforehand, maybe it would have been a different, you know, mm-hmm. situation. So just learning about, just the different aspects of it. So that's lesson number one. So then you'd go to chapter two and be like, okay, what does Gina want us to know?
Yep.
And so I wrote chapter two to give families a good foundation, a good knowledge base to help them make those good decisions during mm-hmm. childbirth. So that's super important. But just going through these lessons and keeping in mind that these lessons are they're from the families. They're from the delivery team.
Yeah.
They're from the medical experts. These are the lessons from everybody involved, you know, in the cases. But another big lesson that, you know, parents really need to understand, and we just touched on it right at the beginning of the podcast, is just understanding that there are common issues and common facts when something goes wrong during childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's reoccurring things. Again, that if you know this will help you give you a heightened sense of awareness to make those good decisions. But for instance, so that's chapter 11. So I'll say, hey, reoccurring issues, reoccurring facts, chapter 11, you're going to have, you know, the 10 most important ones. And with, you know, each common issue or each common fact, I don't just say, okay, the number one fact in a legal baby case or issue in a legal baby case is the use of Pitocin, which is a drug that's used to induce mom's labor. You know, I go from there and then I tell you, okay, this is how to have a safe Pitocin induction based upon, you know, what I've seen for 21 years. But I'll tell you, having like understanding that Pitocin is in the majority of cases when something goes wrong is huge. Because now parents are like, wait a minute, you know, listen, Pitocin induction, it might be a really good option for you and your baby, depending on what is going on. While I'm a childbirth attorney and I've been dealing with this drug for 21 years and I'm not a fan, medical doctors, I'll tell you, across the board are like, Gina, this is a good option for some families. And I'm like, you know what? You're probably right. It is a good option. So what, how do we solve that problem then? Then it's how, you know, then that will go through how to have a safe Pitocin induction. But basically with Pitocin, it's just really important to keep it slow and steady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pitocin is a very individualized drug, meaning nobody knows how your body's going to respond to it. So really just do it slow and steady so you don't stress out babies, so you don't stress out your uterus. It's just, I cannot emphasize how important that is.
And that was really quickly given to me for my first. And I didn't know anything. I didn't know this. And I wasn't educated and I had no idea. And like the baby was fine, but I didn't know I had options. I could have just waited to go into labor naturally.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now keep in mind, so most of my cases involve Pitocin, a natural spontaneous vaginal birth. Those cases are few and far between.
Yeah.
Meaning if you do wait or whatnot, or you do go more of the natural route, definitely the mistakes and complications that I see in these cases are less likely to occur. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's also something to consider. But another one that is so important that I don't think people realize unless you're in my world is that most mistakes and complications occur after mom's water breaks. So if the doctor comes in and they're like, hey, we want to break your bag of water, it's really important for mom to find out why. Do you want to be home for dinner? Or is there a medical reason why you want to break my bag of water? That's it. They keep in mind, you know, in labor, there's two patients. There's mom, there's baby. Baby is housed and lives in mom's uterus with the placenta, the umbilical cord, and the fluid. So umbilical cord is like baby's lifeline, gives baby oxygen. The placenta is like, you know, sticks to the side of the uterus and it has baby's nutrients, and that's kind of the source of the oxygen-rich blood, which then is transferred to the umbilical cord to baby and so forth. Everything is surrounded by fluid. So when fluid comes out, that changes the baby's environment and it can make them more susceptible or more vulnerable to something going wrong. So it's really important to understand that, because that is a big decision that, you know, should be made very carefully, because once, you know, that environment changes, you know, it's very important to keep a really close eye on baby. Mm-hmm. Another like common issue in the cases, which is super important, is a busy labor and delivery unit. So the units are very busy and you have a delivery team that is off helping a bunch of other patients. And again, the moms like you who are in labor. So how long, you know, delivery team may be helping another family, you know, it's always hard to say. So if you have a busy labor and delivery unit there, again, there's definitely things that you need to, you know, consider that we can go over.
Like this is my fourth, and I've had the doctor. Well, I didn't have a doctor. It was more just the staff, maternity staff. And they're like, hey, we have another person in labor. You're going to have to wait. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like what? Like that's what I hear. And yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. And they told me they're short staff and that I have to do certain things because they're short staff. It's interesting. Yeah. I've heard a lot of things.
Yeah. Yep. That, okay, so that would be, you know, you now, after talking to me, if that happens again, you're going to be like, okay, this is, you know, this is something I have to take into consideration and, you know, just think through your decisions or what you're going to do or what you're going to agree to.
And know that you can really speak up. I feel like a lot of people feel like they don't have a voice. And I think that having a voice and even having your partner help you use your voice or be the advocate for you during that like stressful time is so important.
Okay. 100%. So we're also, So that is actually another one of the lessons is having a baby advocate.
Yeah.
And as a baby advocate, it's like you have this other person, because mom, listen, it's going to take every ounce of you to physically, mentally focus and deliver baby. Mm-hmm. So it's really, unless you're one of the lucky ones. So it's really important to designate your husband, your mom, your aunt, whoever is there who's just as excited to meet baby as you, as an advocate. Mm-hmm. And that way you can relax. You want to avoid this fight or flight mode, you know, at all costs. So if your husband's prepped, if he's read chapter 7 of my book, you know, it goes over, you know, what he what he should know or grandma should have an understanding of in order to, you know, effectively advocate for you. So, you know, keep in mind your delivery team, they're responsible for bringing your baby safely into this world. Your delivery team is typically made up of the people who are scheduled to work that day. Mm-hmm. So what if you don't like someone on your delivery team? You need to be able to look at your husband, give him the nod, and he should have an understanding that that means, okay, go get me a new nurse. Go mm-hmm. get this resident out of here, whatever it is and whatnot. And keep it, I love labor and delivery nurses. Most are just amazing. Mm-hmm. Some are not. So, you know, it's like every profession. So I always say that because I do love my labor and delivery nurses a lot. Out of all the witnesses in my cases, I mean, they show more human emotion. They're caring. They have such a hard job. They're the ones at our bedside. But anyway, it's very important that you can look at, you know, your spouse and be like, hey, and then listen, your spouse instinctively, you know, wants to protect you, wants to protect their baby. So giving them a job is huge. I mean, I don't know how the husbands are these days, but mine's not going to think independently that, you know, he has to read this or he has to do this. Like, but if I tell him, you know, you have to do X, Y, Z, he'll do it great. But you almost like you have to instruct him. Yeah. So, you know, you just have to be like, okay, you're going to read A Parent's Guide to a Safer Childbirth. So you can help protect me during childbirth and make sure we come home safely. Yeah. But no, my book really lays out for them exactly what they need to know to protect their wife and baby. So yeah, I love that you just said, you know, having a partner right there or just anybody, but designating somebody and then like just like a new job, giving them some training, boom, that's going to help so much with having a healthy baby.
Well, it's funny because I had an ectopic pregnancy first and almost died. And I kept being sent home. And I was bleeding out internally. And literally, like, I came in by myself because I came in so many times because I lost my shoulder. I had the shoulder tip pain. I couldn't walk. And I had bruising on my abdomen. And my doctor said it was just like a hernia. Yeah, it was just crazy. And then after that whole, like, I had emergency surgery and it was a huge thing. And after that, my husband's been like on, he's like, we don't trust the medical care system and we are questioning everything and pushing. We're much pushier because of that.
You're lucky. Yeah. Those are very scary.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're okay. That's,
that was my first. So I only have one fallopian tube now. So
that sounds like it ruptured then.
Yeah.
Which can be really, really scary. So I'm glad you're okay. But you know, it's sad that it takes, luckily there was, you know, you didn't lose your life or anything like major. But sometimes it does take that, something like that, to, you know, really kind of make it so your husband does advocate or whatnot. But here I'm telling you, don't wait for anything bad to happen. Be more in a prevention mindset and be proactive to make sure, you know, that stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah. And that's where we are now. We're like, okay. We have to advocate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Oh, that's huge. That's awesome.
So how can parents avoid these mistakes and complications in the birth of their baby? So how can we avoid? So just advocating, knowing what we can and cannot do. Like, is there anything else that?
Absolutely. So in preventing, There are just so many great ways to,
I mean, like five,
you know, help prevent. But I mean, we can even start with the basics. Just having an understanding of your delivery team and what their roles are is absolutely huge. Understanding that you can swap out people on your delivery team. I tell the story in my book, and I think this is such an important story. Again, your delivery team is typically people who are scheduled to work that day with the exception of your doctor or one of the partners in your doctor's practice who will head that delivery team. So the delivery team, they have the most important job, bringing your baby safely into this world, and they're people who are scheduled to work that day. So I tell a story in my book, and it's from a case, and basically, that day at the hospital, you know, there's two nurses in particular, and one nurse was born to be a labor and delivery nurse, 20 years experience, completely amazing. And the other nurse was fresh out of training, hated her job, and was looking for a new job. Which patient got which nurse that day? Luck of the draw. And I probably don't need to tell your audience which nurse's care was at issue. And the only reason the good nurse was involved is because she did step in to try to help.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even her patient. So, but here's the thing with the nurses and that day at the hospital. So that day at the hospital, the good nurse the patient with the bad nurse, the good nurse cannot go into that patient's room and say, hey, if you don't like your nurse, let me know. I'll get you a new one. It doesn't work like that at all. Actually, the good nurse would get in trouble. So, but what can happen is if you say something, if you give your husband the nod, husband goes up to the nurse's station and is like, hi, we'd like a new nurse. They're going to be like, oh yeah, we're on it. They already know. Even when I met with a really good nurse, she was like, have you met with the bad nurse yet? And I'm like, no.
They know.
They know
their coworkers.
They will do what they do best. And that is they will step in and they will help you. But they can't do that until you say something. And it can be simple. You don't have to go, and bang your fist down and say, I want a new nurse. Be like, hey, can I get a new nurse? Like, just leave it open-ended.
Yeah.
Let them ask you why. They're probably already on the same page. They're going to be like, yep, give us a minute and whatnot. But just understanding who's on your delivery team, understanding who, you can switch them out. Your doctor heads your delivery team. Listen, super important to pick a good doctor. I have a chapter on how to pick a good doctor. Mm-hmm. I've analyzed OBGYNs for 21 years. You cannot stick a bad doctor in front of a jury. A jury is made up of our peers, our lay people. So this is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. I'm picking a good doctor. So I go through a little bit of that in my book. Here's my attorney analysis, but then here's your analysis on what you need to do when you're looking, is this the doctor I want delivering my baby? Because again, powerful moment, one of the biggest days of your life. So, and it's just, this is not, again, rocket science. It's stuff like following your intuition, following your instincts. Just because the doctor delivered your best friend's baby and baby's here safe doesn't mean anything as it comes to you.
Yeah.
So, and I'll tell you, sometimes when I'm in these cases and I'll be like, well, how'd you find the doctor? Oh, they were referred by so-and-so. So that doesn't mean anything. Good, following your instincts and is this the right doctor for you is huge. Yeah. How's the doctor's communication? Are you comfortable talking to your doctor? Can you tell them anything? Do you feel like you can't tell them things? That's a red flag and so forth, because your doctor heads your delivery team. But your doctor's not really at the hospital unless they pick up a 12-hour shift.
Yeah.
So your doctor, how they communicate with you is likely how they communicate with your delivery team.
Yeah.
So it's important that, you're looking at how they communicate, with you, their staff, just to make sure that, because ultimately what happens, you have your nurse or your resident bedside and they communicate with your doctor and together the doctor comes up with recommendations. Communication's huge. I go through the top 20 things to ask your doctor. And these are things we ask doctors in our cases.
Mm-hmm.
And before we stick them in front of a jury of our peers, stuff like that. But it's such important questions for families to, understand. But then again, we get into having a baby advocate. I love birth doulas. Birth doulas are not in my cases.
I've never had one. And I've been thinking I probably should have one this time, but I think I'm too late.
No.
So I love them.
Where are you?
I'm in British Columbia.
Nope. I'm like, I don't know any birth doulas there.
Yeah. I know we have doulas. Like I have friends who are, and I didn't think much of it, but lately I've been starting to think otherwise. But yes, tell me why you love them so much.
So birth doulas are absolutely amazing. They are not, I've never had a birth doula in my cases. And listen, birth doulas are everywhere around here, but by far, I can tell you, birth doulas are helping to bring babies safely into this world. They speak the language of the delivery team. While you may not know your delivery team that because there's people who are working that day, your birth doula is somebody that you've built a relationship with during your pregnancy, who can also help guide you, again, speaks the language of the delivery team and whatnot. So that, and birth doula would be, you know, if you don't have a birth doula, or even if you, birth doulas are really good too at educating their parents. So again, my number one lesson, get ready for childbirth, get ready to make those important decisions. Mm-hmm. Birth doulas really help you do that during your pregnancy, for sure. But yeah, that's amazing. And then also, another lesson, have a birth plan. Listen, the childbirth attorney, my spin on it's a little bit different. Childbirth is almost impossible to predict unless you're one of the lucky ones. So having a plan is so incredibly important. It's not the plan in and of itself. It's the act of preparing the plan, preparing it in the comfort of your own home where you can listen to amazing podcasts like this one, read a book, mm-hmm. call a friend, and just get ready to make those important decisions. And again, in my chapter, I'm like, okay, these are probably the top 10 that you really should consider. Yeah. And then taking that birth plan and what you're thinking and taking it to your doctor or the different doctors who may be the ones heading your delivery team. Mm-hmm. Find out if you guys are all on the same page. That is so huge.
That and then part is hard doctor, sometimes because sometimes they don't like your birth plan and they scare you a little bit.
So that's why I recommend it, doing it earlier, because if that's the case and you're not in a small community with two doctors, you just get a different doctor.
Yeah.
And that is so you have to realize one of the things that blew me away when I started in this childbirth field is that different doctors have different opinions. Mm. I mean, literally different opinions. One doctor, you know, I may have a case and retain experts, and one doctor will tell me, an expert is somebody who comes in, looks at the medical records, and they tell me their professional opinion. Is this good care or bad care based upon their training and experience? I'll have two medical experts come in, sometimes from the same hospital. These are delivering doctors. And one will tell me the care was perfect, and the other one will tell me everything was done wrong during the care of mom and baby. Early in my career, when I was really confused on doctors because they have such different opinions, I would ask them in depositions, be like, why do you believe this, but this other doctor believes something completely different? And really, all they would ever do is just dismiss the other doctor as crazy. That's all I could ever get out of them, because they become so like, this is their opinion, their way or the highway. Just so you know, that's a red flag. But if you take your birth plan to your doctor, even if you just cover the 10 things that are in my book, take my book. Yeah. Be like, this is a childbirth attorney. You know, this is what she recommends. Throw me under the bus if you're, you know, whatnot. But if your doctor, there are really some important questions. Your doctor should be like, wow, these are good things. And I'm glad we're talking about this beforehand. I had one doctor testify, and I included this in this chapter, the birth plan. He believes all patients should be given, all moms before they go into labor, should be given all of their options before labor, because once they go into labor, they enter a different state of mind. Mm-hmm. So this doctor is like, we're going to talk about everything before, you know, you go into labor. So I have you in, you know, this calm setting, and we can hash things out. And he actually went as far to say that was standard of care, which I'm not going to get into with your audience. That's a legal term. But yeah, that to me was a huge statement. So your doctor should be totally cool going over your birth plan with you. And if they're not, huge red flag. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Sometimes, I mean, maybe if your birth plan is like the music and senses and, you know, the different stuff, they might be like, okay, I don't know the difference between lavender and eucalyptus, whatever, you know, the different scents. But listen, put that stuff on the side. That's great. If it helps you relax, whatever helps you relax, mm-hmm. I am on board. But there are some bigger decisions that need to be discussed with your doctor, you know, prior to going into labor. Mm-hmm. And again, those are chapter 6. And then chapter 7, we were talking about how baby advocate, birth doula, all that good stuff. But another huge topic that parents definitely, and it's not your fault, I blame this on the medical community, The medical community really wants to keep the baby's heart rate to themselves. They don't like anybody else interpreting it but them. It's been, oh yeah, listen, when you're in labor and baby's inside you, the only way you can tell if your baby is doing okay or not, or it's always like the initial thing that they kind of rely on, is the baby's heart rate. Mm. The doctors in my cases would be like, Gina, the only way a baby can talk to me during labor is their heart rate. So if a baby can talk to the doctor during labor, the baby can talk to you during labor.
Yeah.
So I, as one of the lessons, is like, learn the baby's heart rate. As an attorney in childbirth cases, it's the first thing that I learned how to do. It's not rocket science. It took me an hour. But I can look at a baby's heart rate and be like, baby's a rock star or baby is struggling. So let's say you have something like a Pitocin induction, one of the common facts in a legal baby case. So that's when mistakes and complications occur. So if you're having a Pitocin induction, don't you want to be able to independently figure out how baby's doing? Mm-hmm. Is baby handling the induction or not? And also, you know, like when you walk into labor and delivery, the first thing they do is put the baby's heart rate. They start the baby's heart rate because, again, it's the best indicator of how baby is doing. So I think that's definitely one of the lessons. And I go, this is basically, you know, what you mm-hmm. need to know. But those would be, I mean, I have a chapter on C-sections, epidurals, mm-hmm. the types of interventions. You know, what happens is if there's any concerns about baby, it almost always is their heart rate.
Yeah.
And then it's not concern to C-section, it's concern different types of tests or interventions. So I go through those.
Mm-hmm.
Again, learning them beforehand. So if it is done during your labor, that you have an understanding of what they're doing and what each one, you know, what they mean. Mm-hmm. Again, because they may do these tests and intervention and give you different options. So it's important
there's so
to
much
have
good
that
stuff there.
Basically, those would be definitely my recommendations on, you know, what you need to know and prepare for to make sure these mm-hmm. mistakes and complications don't occur. In general, I mean, there's some more stuff, but I'll stop there. I know. I feel like your eyes are getting big. Like, okay,
yeah,
I'm looking for a baby. What else do I need to know?
Well, it's funny because like I've had three in the hospital and now I'm like, okay, I want to try something a little different. I didn't enjoy the hospital. So now mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to try a home birth, but I'm sure you probably, I don't know your thoughts on home birth, but we don't have to get into that. But yeah. And I kind of want to, I have a midwife and she's confident, but yeah, there's a lot that I want to avoid this time because I do mm-hmm. feel like I get pretty insecure when I'm in the hospital setting and, I don't get to relax because I'm kind of in that fight mm-hmm. or flight mode and I'm really, you know, and then they tell me you have to do this, but in reality, they're just making me feel like I have to do this. So yeah, that's why we're actually switching it up this time and we're not going to be doing it at the hospital. So
it sounds like it might be a really good option for you.
Yeah.
And I'm not by any means, you know, anti-home birth or anything like that. If anything, when somebody tells me something like that, then I'm like, okay, this is a childbirth attorney. This is just what you need to consider. But a lot of it is, you know, with your midwife, just making sure that you really like your midwife, that you mm-hmm. trust your midwife, and that, you know, under what circumstances is midwife going to recommend going to the hospital, you know, stuff like that. And then just having your backup plan mm-hmm. on, okay, you know, if it's not going to happen, how am I getting to the hospital? How far is it?
Yeah.
You know, and whatnot. But no, that's mm-hmm. a lot of people have had really great experiences with home birth. Yeah. I would never discount that at all because that's it can be a very beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I just, yeah, I want that. Yeah. I want that. The pressure. I feel like maybe it's from my first ectopic pregnancy experience and it was really, really hard. And I live in a small community. So the doctors, everybody mm-hmm. knows everybody. It's mm-hmm. like there's what, three staff working at nighttime for the labor floor. Like you don't have as many options. Yeah.
Wow.
I think I, out of my three children, there's only been one other person in labor at the same time as me. But and then they're short staffed because there's only like two or three nurses working. So it is very different, and you know the doctors when you go in there, and you're like, oh, I have to have him, or you know, it just we live in a very small you know, community. It's different.
Sounds like you're making a pretty good decision.
Oh, thank you.
Just saying, if you already experienced it all now, because I mean, if you know you can relax again. Spontaneous, natural childbirth, and you can be relaxed. Huge.
Well, that and that's funny.
Definitely one of the best ways.
Yeah, and 100%. The first one was, you know, I had the Pitocin, everything went fine, but I reacted to morphine, and it actually, I was asleep for everything. And then with the second, they actually were trying to get me to go home and I refused. And I had to like argue with the staff that I wasn't leaving. And then 40 minutes later, my baby came. And so there's just been a few. And then with the third, I had like all the things done, the epidural, all the things. And I'm just like, this isn't what I expected and what I want. And I saw these beautiful women having these beautiful home births naturally, with no pressure, no stress. And I'm like, that is what I want to do next time. Yeah. So
important. Follow your instincts and intuition. And you are. So, you know,
yeah,
so you're
going to
have a beautiful, healthy baby. I'm actually very excited for you.
Thank you. I am so glad that you were able to hop on my podcast and share. So where can people find your book and order it or find you and get to know more about this topic if they're interested?
So the best way is always GinaMundy.com, GINAMUNDY.com. It'll have you know, information for expecting parents, where to buy the book. There's just a bunch of stuff on there because, you know, basically I'm just on this mission for healthy babies. So I find something that I believe is helpful to parents or a really good resource, a good class or whatnot, you know, it's going up on my website. So it's part of my mission for more healthy babies. And then in terms of buying the book, again, through my website, or literally if you just go on Amazon and put in my name, Gina Mundy, it pops right up.
Oh, perfect.
And then you can always follow me too on Instagram at Gina Mundy for, you know, other stuff.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad. I'm going to have to get your book and learn more.
I love it. Love it.
Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having me. Okay.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you are inspired and encouraged. If there are any topics you are interested in and wanting me to share on, I would love to hear from you. DM me on Instagram with the handle Rose May Homestead.